Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, Friday mornings at 9. Join me as we explore topics like health and wellness, prosperity, inner peace, the law of attraction, and more. Tap into good vibrations to start your weekend feeling uplifted and optimistic. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Fridays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Dyer, and you're listening to Synchronicity with Marie Bernard. Here she is.
Good morning. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie, so welcome to the show. And if you're in Vancouver, you've been dealing with the heat wave, and I woke up this morning and there was a little bit of a breeze that came through my window, and then I waited for it and it went away, and then I waited and waited and waited, and a little bit more came through the window. So I'm happy to say that it has decreased in temperature a couple of degrees. It's still really hot by my standards, but at least hopefully we'll be able to sleep tonight. So you might be listening right now on CITR.ca or 101.9 FM in Vancouver or CosmicDimensions.com. Or the rebroadcast is on empowerradio.com. So thank you for being with me today. On the show today, we have Dr. Jennifer Howard, and she is a psychotherapist and a public speaker. We're going to be talking with her about her practice and some of her teachings and maybe get into a bit of the law of attraction as well. So if you want to get on the air and ask Dr. Jennifer a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And you can find her online at drjenniferhoward.com. So Dr. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here, Marie. I'm so glad we connected on Twitter and had such a nice connection. So thank you for asking me.
Well, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it. So Dr. Jennifer, you're a licensed psychotherapist, a healer, author, relationship counselor, and a professional speaker with over 20 years in experience. And so tell us about what your vision is for your clients, and what kind of things do you work on with your clients?
Well, you know, people come with a myriad of their own problems, so I always start with whatever they present. It's kind of like improvisational theater that way, that, you know, whatever you come in with is what we start with. I like to work with adults. I like to work with people who have done some work. My best clients have done a lot of therapy because I can really take them deep. I like to do profound, deep work. I don't like to do short-term therapy. It doesn't interest me at all. I don't think it works over the long haul. I think this is a life journey, and we're all on it, including me, and that it's our, if we really want deep and meaningful happiness, it takes some work on our part to dive into those places that are uncomfortable. And as we dive deeply into those uncomfortable places, what gets revealed is the wounds that need to be healed, and under that is our true self, is our deeper self that emerges. And living from that deeper self is more relaxing, brings us happiness. I've done all this work myself, so I feel like a lot of the time I can just come from my deeper self, which is why, you know, I don't need with someone like you, we didn't hardly talk again after we talked the initial time. I can just come and talk about what I do and be myself. And I think everyone's right is to learn how to be themselves, who they came to be this life.
Wonderful. So, Dr. Jennifer, what are some of the techniques that you use? Because for me, and I'm going to give this away on the air here, I've been in therapy myself.
Good.
But I find that, like, I had one therapist, and I was really getting somewhere, and then she had to leave the country. And I moved to another therapist, and I really don't feel like I've been getting anywhere. And so... I think a lot of people experience this. You go to your therapist and you talk and you talk and you talk and you bring up the same old junk over and over again, and you never really get anywhere and you never really get past it. So what are some of the techniques that you use to help people move beyond that talking phase of just like what's been going on this week and what kind of challenges you're dealing with?
Well, certainly, I do a lot of energy work and energy healing, and I think that can open up things, and it can also anchor things. But if people find that they're in therapy and they feel like they're not going anywhere, I would say that they need to say that to their therapist and challenge their therapist. You know, and there are therapists who aren't trained as well, you know, who don't haven't gone there themselves. You can only take people as far as you can go. So if somebody comes in every week talking about the same issue, I would hope that I can follow that thread back to that original source. You know, and that's when even past lives sometimes can be important. You don't want to focus on that because that can be also a parlor trick that doesn't help people. But if, you know, I also, Marie, kind of believe that we all incarnated with six problems. I'm making up that number, but we all have the same issues our whole life. And hopefully, if we're really working with somebody who's trained, we'll get to a more essential place in that wound, a more essential place. We move, it's like a circle that moves toward the center. You know, we circle back around those same issues. But hopefully we're getting closer and closer to being our true self. Now, I'm never going to now suddenly have your issues because I've done some therapy. So we do circle back around. But you should circle back around with more depth, more understanding, sometimes more freedom, and sometimes more pain. Sometimes as you get closer to the essential part of the center of the wound, it's actually more painful. But it processes faster. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
I think so. So, yeah, I think when an issue comes to the surface, that's when it can be the most painful, but that's also when it's there and it's, I mean, it's kind of like, I know this is kind of a gross analogy, but kind of like a pimple.
Yes.
You know, if it comes to the surface, then you can go to your dermatologist and have it extracted or whatever.
Exactly. You know, that's a great example because I often use the example of the reason I like to do deep work is I use the example of a splinter. Because sometimes a splinter will heal over, but it still hurts when you push it, you know, like it won't be real sore on the top. But, you know, you have to sometimes take the needle and go down deeply where it hurts and get it out. Mm-hmm. But doing the deeper work actually then has it heal from the inside out. So if you feel like you're recycling, I would challenge my therapist or look for another one. Because, you know, if somebody said to me, Jennifer, I feel like we're talking about these same issues, I would say, yeah, and let's look at how you've changed with those issues. Or let's look at how come you're not changing. You know, maybe there are people, and I've seen clients like this, who actually don't want to, they'll do therapy so they can say they've done it. And I don't think they know that they're doing this, but there's a part of them that just doesn't want to give up or doesn't really want to grieve or doesn't really want to go into this particular subject. So they'll stay on the surface, and I, as a therapist, am always, you know, pulling them down or saying, you know, confronting and saying, what is this? Why are you back here and you're not wanting to, you know, I mean, that's what's so great about therapy. It's a relationship, too. That's why techniques, I've studied every technique. I know EFT, I know Sedona. I mean, I've taken almost everything. So I know all those things. And at the appropriate moment, they're perfect. But it's also the depth to which the therapist sits in, you know, is seated in at their base, as the Buddhist would say. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does. It sounds like you feel like in order to be a good therapist, you have to have kind of gone, maybe not with the exact same experience, but you have to have gone through that healing process yourself.
You have to have healed your own things and gone into your own pain. I don't have to have your pain to understand your pain, but I have to know my pain to understand your pain.
Mm-hmm. So what about, you mentioned EFT and the Sedona method, and what about something like EMDR?
Sure.
Do you ever use that?
I personally don't. My husband does. He's also a therapist. But I think EMDR is fabulous, and I think all these things are fabulous at the right time and the right moment. I think EMDR, especially if you've just had a horrible trauma, like, you know, the 9/11 towers, that was important for people to do EMDR. Sorry about that telephone. That kind of trauma, that immediate trauma, that I was in an accident trauma, that I had a car accident, I'm scared to drive trauma, that EMDR can get to that and absolutely just get rid of it. But that strain trauma, there are two kinds of trauma. There's strain trauma and all of a sudden I can't remember the other name, but one is about day-to-day strain, mom who didn't get you, alcoholic parents, day-to-day, and then there's the accident kind of trauma that's a quick, immediate, that just happened. These kind of techniques are excellent, perfect, fabulous at the it just happened trauma that's not so connected to your childhood, although it would bring up your childhood wounding, but like people who are post-traumatic stress from a war, you know, EMDR, those kinds of things really help with that because they're that's awful what they have to go through in a war. But somebody who kind of grew up in a war, it's a little more complicated. And I think you can do EMDR, but you have to also be able to go into it in a different way and sit with it. And, you know, I kind of believe we're all on this journey, and we all kind of incarnated with whatever we came to learn. I kind of try to look at it from the biggest perspective. You know what I mean? I came to learn certain things so I can give to the world. You came to learn certain things so you could give to the world. And certainly ignoring your pain never works.
Totally. Well, I think definitely they say, you know, these problems when you're a kid, you hear, oh, it builds character, right? Mm. And I mean, in a way, it does.
That's true. Yeah.
Not to say that people who've had easy lives can't have great characters and be very loving and empathetic people.
Well,
but,
what's the definition of an easy life? Easy to whom?
Yeah. But I mean, some people have had it easier than others. For example, as many traumas as I've had in my life has certainly been a lot easier than many people who are, you know, don't have enough food to eat on a daily basis, or like you said, have grown up in war-torn countries.
But you know, if you go, I've had so many people, friends of mine, travel to India, and they say the poverty is so profound and the spiritual connection is so profound. So who are we to decide? I don't know, you know,
mm-hmm.
Who's worse. I mean, certainly we can look from the outside and know that poverty and starving is just horrifying and we want to help, and I agree. But, you know, from a spiritual perspective, I think we're all kind of on equal territory. Maybe not physically on equal territory, but on the suffering human equal territory.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody says, I don't suffer, I had an easy life, they're just out of touch. People who say to me, I had perfect parents and a perfect childhood, I know they're just repressing it. Since nobody's raised by perfect people, nobody's childhood was perfect. And I'm not trying to pick on everything. I'm looking at it from the larger spiritual perspective, that we're here learning lessons. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yes, for sure. So when you, and this is true often, people in more impoverished countries have a much deeper spiritual connection, a much deeper family connection and a connection to their community, much more than we have here, because we're so busy with the rat race and chasing
mm-hmm.
the next MP3 player and iPhone that's out.
Totally.
And, you know, we spend our times online or on the computer all day or in front of the television instead of connecting with our fellow humans. So it's
yeah.
interesting that people that may have less from our perspective actually have more in a
that's
lot
right.
of ways. Mm-hmm.
I agree totally.
So we're talking with Dr. Jennifer Howard right now. If you want to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And you can also email spiritualshow@gmail.com. So Dr. Jennifer, it's about time to take a break. So we'll be back in just a moment with more synchronicity here on CITR.
World on your shoulders and fight the good fight. Justice.
On Sunday, August 9th, come celebrate a festival of art and social change at the 19th annual Under the Volcano Festival. Bring friends and family to enjoy diverse and socially conscious music, spoken word performances, a storytelling stage, and more at Kate's Park in Deep Cove. This year's festival boasts over 30 different artists, including Mecha Normal, Ruts Wrong Tohei, Invincible, Aura Kogan, and LAL. Admission by donation. More information can be found at volcano.resist.ca.
CIT ATR is proud to support Olio Festival and Mint Records at the Enza Club on Friday, August 14th. Check out The Choir Practice, The Wit Sundays, Kellerissa and Apollo Ghosts. That night, the Enza Club will also feature paintings by Ronan Boyle. And if that's not enough, there will be Watermelon at the show. Come check these great artists out on August 14th at the Enza Club. To pick up your Olio Festival passes and check out the entire lineup, visit http://oliofestival.com.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie. Thank you for being with me today. And on the show right now is Dr. Jennifer Howard. She is a licensed psychotherapist, healer, author, relationship counselor, and professional speaker with over 20 years experience in helping people make changes in her lives, in their lives. She's created a She's created a personal development plan and assists people in personal development and spiritual growth. So we're going to talk more with Jennifer right now. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I think it's the heat, Marie. I think you can't talk because of the heat.
It must be. And usually, actually, in the station, it's hot on a cool day.
Oh, no.
So it's, but I'm glad that it's cooled down a couple of degrees here in Vancouver,
yay,
thankfully. So that's helping me think a little more clearly. So let's talk about, I heard that there's a television show possibly in the works. So tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. I interviewed this week. They put me on tape. It's a big production company in Manhattan that I had never heard of because I'm not familiar anymore with production companies. When I was younger, I was an actress, a singer, dancer person before I became a therapist. So I used to know these places, but they had a whole building. I was like, oh, well, okay. So we went up there and they put me on tape and talked about a show that I think is kind of interesting. I was really clear with them that I was not interested in doing anything that was voyeuristic or painful to the participants or cruel, because there's a lot of that reality television that, in my opinion, is really not helpful and is painful and cruel for people. And they said, no, this is going to be actually shooting a therapy session. I don't know how they're going to do this, but shooting a therapy session with a client, with a real client, and hopefully help people grow and change by watching other people grow and change, or at least saying, oh, this isn't so bad, maybe I'll get some help. So I'm kind of excited about it. They talked to me, we were on tape for a long time, and they seemed very interested and told me they'd get back to me this week. So we'll see. It felt really interesting to have my old world and my current world come together. I've done television as it's on some of the clips are on my website, doing the Maury Povich show a long time ago before he became more like Jerry Springer, and some other talk shows that I did a couple years ago. So this would kind of bring this to a new level. It would be a series. It'd be ongoing on probably the Learning Channel. I don't know if you guys get that, but cable.
Awesome.
So we'll see. Do you guys get the Learning Channel? Do you?
We get PBS. I think we get the Learning Channel. I don't know if it's the same as the one that you would get.
Okay.
I think everyone has different cable packages and whatnot up here, but
okay.
Cool. Well, you can definitely put that on your website when it happens.
You know,
we're just going to affirm that it will happen.
Thank you so much. if it's meant to be, I want to only do it if it's in the highest good for everyone. That's what I'm interested in. The other thing is for your listeners, I have clients all over the world. I do a lot of phone work as a therapist. I have a private practice in Manhattan and Long Island, New York. But I also have clients in Europe and, all over. I have one in Hong Kong, which is a challenge for time, 12 hours difference. But so I'm happy to, talk with people across the world. It's kind of fun for me to have people in different parts of the world to connect to. And, we're all much more similar than we are different.
That is true. I think a lot of us, we focus on our differences and we're not able to see how much we share in common.
the struggles, the human struggles, absolutely.
So talking more about the human struggles, actually, I just received an email from a listener. She'd like you to talk more about not having a perfect childhood, and she hasn't given specific details. So if you'd like to call in, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR, or maybe you could send a little bit more detail to spiritualshow@gmail.com. But I think that's a pretty common, when we talk about commonality in humans, having a not perfect childhood is a pretty common thread. So can we focus on that a little bit more?
Sure. I don't know if this person was saying, because my point earlier was that no one had a perfect childhood. And I think sometimes people who their childhoods actually looked pretty good from the outside, it's confusing for them when they can't figure out why the relationships they're in aren't working, or they can't keep a job, or they say, well, my childhood was pretty good. So sometimes those people have a harder time getting at what really happened. What are the things that got missed? What are the things that, you know, they didn't get affirmed by their parents? Their parents were too busy actually having fun with themselves. You know, however it shaped, you know, it looks. So that's it's interesting to work with people like that, because, you know, sometimes it takes them years to realize, you know, I think I need to see somebody. Sometimes those people don't come into therapy when they're young. They'll wait till they're older. Whereas somebody who had a really difficult childhood, hopefully, often I see those people, they're kind of say, oh, God, everything was a mess. You know, they're kind of clear about it. But I think sometimes it's harder for people who had more subtle ways that they didn't get nurtured, and I'm not blaming the parents. They're humans too, and they probably did the best they could, and it's all part of the journey. It's all part of the picture.
I think that's a good point to make, because I have a friend who suffers from depression and anxiety, and their childhood from the outside looked really good. I mean, mm-hmm. they had, you know, they lived in a secure house, and they had everything that they needed, and but then you get to the root, and it's kind of like, well, what happened? You know, why are you experiencing these things? Mm-hmm. And then you find out, well, the mother had, you know, depression.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't really available for the children. So the children didn't feel connected to. If the mom's depressed, often the mom is off to the side or neglects the children in ways. Subtle ways. But just, you know, mommy's tired. Mommy's in bed. Mommy's going to take a nap now. Mommy's busy.
Exactly.
And that mommy's busy over and over and over and over and over, day after day, the kid starts to feel like, what's wrong with me that mommy's so busy?
And even if the mom is a stay-at-home mom, I mean, I've heard this a lot with other friends as well, where their parents, maybe the mother suffered from postpartum depression and didn't get treatment, and it carried on. And, you know, those subtle things, I mean, one of my friends actually thought when they were a kid that their parents didn't love them.
Sure.
Because of just these very subtle nuances of depression, and wondering, you know, is it me? What did I do wrong?
Exactly. How come mommy doesn't feel well? Is it me? Did I do something to upset her? And even a mom who's, you know, trying her best, may be too involved. Instead of neglecting, may drown herself in her children, and doesn't allow the kids space to grow. And, you know, there's this limited boundary thing that parents need to have boundaries too. And there's something that Winnicott writes about called going on being, where you allow children some space to go on being. You don't want to invade them and have, you know, try to keep them merged to you. There's a lot of parents that, you know, like that baby phase, and then when the baby needs to say no to mommy, the mommy gets insulted and hurt, and, you know, they don't want the child to not be a baby anymore. Or some parents can't tolerate the merging and can't tolerate it and want to just push them away until they get old enough to be able to talk. And, you know, either way you go, that child gets the message, something's not okay about me.
Well, it looks like we have a caller on the line.
Oh, great.
So I'm going to bring them up.
Excellent.
Hi, are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is, what happens when connections start to click? Can life be a lot better?
What happens when connections start to click?
Yes.
Can you give an example of what you mean? Because I'm not clear about that question.
Well, when I started to, I was depressed growing up, and when mm-hmm. I started to feel something inside of me, that actually started to connect, if that makes any sense.
Started to connect
to
yourself?
At that time, I didn't know it was called spirituality or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started to feel that, something incredible started to shift in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And from that day forward, this is like maybe 23 years ago, life kind of never was exactly the same as it was when I was in the doldrums and the blues and depression, and life mm-hmm. was not worth really living. And then all of a sudden, I just somehow made up, I don't know if I made up my mind to feel good, but something inside clicked. And I kind of felt this, I know you two understand this, the mm-hmm. synchronicity, obviously. Something bigger than me connected mm-hmm. with the inside of myself.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that somehow in that moment, it reminds me of Eckhart Tolle's story, actually, that somehow in that moment of decision or of connection or of something, you opened to something in you that allowed you to be fed by a source that was greater than your own personality and your own childhood wounding. Is that correct?
It sure feels like that. And I'm wondering, because you two are healers and deal with the healing professions, when people find or sense a connection, can that speed up the healing process?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, we've been talking more in the psychological realm than we have in the spiritual realm, but they're all equally important. I think a lot of people bypass the psychological to jump into the spiritual. That's something as a spiritual teacher that I see a lot. So I tend to emphasize looking at your childhood wounding. But certainly, you can just recycle and recycle, which is kind of what Marie was saying earlier, if you're not realizing that it's all sitting in a much bigger context, which is why
right.
I was talking a little bit about the karmic. So yes, if we realize there is a connection greater than us, that is a world greater than us, there is a universe, a universal energy, a love, a God, or whatever you want to call it, that allows us to kind of relax and rest into something that is larger than us. And then it's also easier. It's like a support system. It's like the images, the Christian images of laying in God's hands or, you know, but it's that feeling of, okay, there's a larger thing going on here that I'm part of. And that allows me to tap into that. And it also opens up the other realms of your guides and that greater wisdom that it, that can inform us in our decisions and in our lives, the life we came to lead, the karmic life that we incarnated to do. All that starts to be informed by that larger context, and I think that's what you're talking about. Does that feel right?
It absolutely does. And you know what? Just when you were talking, it just makes me realize why it's so incredibly wonderful to be comfortable with, you know, contrast, to know what you want as to what you don't want, and to know therapy is a great thing, and understanding, you know, healing yourself whatever way, shape, or form it takes. It takes shape or form.
Yes.
It works because once somebody gets motivated to, you know, like me, the connection just started to click.
Yes.
And therapy turned into a good word, not a bad word, if you get my drift.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Uh-huh. No,
so,
absolutely.
So I have a question for the caller. Since we talk about Eckhart Tolle, and I actually... he was in the depths of depression, very suicidal, and then boom, just all of a sudden, I feel better now, I'm this spiritual guru, every day is wonderful.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, for the caller, is that similar to what happened for you, or do you still find that you fall back at times, or how has that manifested for you?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a writer and I do all kinds of interesting things. I'm finding a link between Dr. Jennifer, you might be able to help me with this.
Mm-hmm.
Creative people, people that are, you know, borderline genius, whatever, they kind of, I'm including myself not as a genius, but as a creative person. The feeling of helpless, hopeless seems to come, the darkest before the dawn kind of thing, right before a major aha happens. Does that make any sense to you too?
I think you're talking about the dark night of the soul.
And
I think that that's, sure, the creative, yes, because I'm a creative folk myself, and I certainly work with a lot of them, so I understand exactly what you mean, that there's a stirring that happens and a dark night of the soul before the openings to, but I think, Marie, I don't know, when you asked that question, what I imagined you were asking, and I don't know if you were or not, but was that yes, there's this opening, but yes, aren't there these continued openings, and aren't there these continued life challenges that hit us all? Or did the caller experience this one opening and there was no more difficulties? Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, I think so, especially because, I mean, I've talked about this on my show before. I'm someone who has been dealing with depression since early childhood. And so while I do have breakthroughs and I do have periods of doing really well and I feel like things have opened up for me, there's also times when I fall back. And so coming from, and I know that the caller can't speak for Eckhart Tolle, but when I read his story of how he came from the depths of depression and suicide into this magically feeling good all the time, I kind of, I don't buy that, you know,
no,
because it hasn't been my experience.
I kind of agree with you on that one. That's why I wanted to ask the question, because, you know, it's a kind of a balanced thing for me. Life is never quite static. You know, you go with the flow and you can go with the flow, and some days you flow a little better than others. And but your depression, like, I have moments of when I feel really sad, but it's, I know without a doubt that somehow I'll get through it. Now, when I'm doing, you know, blog posts, or I'm doing whatever, I'm creating podcasts or whatever, you know, it's a different, you know, I feel a little helpless and hopeless until the project kind of springs forth. You know what I mean? But I think that's an energy we all kind of use to serve us rather than to squash us. Does that make any sense?
Well, I think I agree with what Marie said, and I think what you're saying, let me stick with this first because this thought, and then I'm going to go back to Eckhart Tolle. Yes and no. I think what I've seen with my clients is there's no reason to have, that if you're going back into despair, that's human, and that's your learning cutting edge. So if I'm going back into despair when I'm doing a podcast, for me, it's more anxiety. I don't have a lot of depression, but I get anxious about things or worried. So I have to work with my worry and release it, and work with my worry and reassure my inner kid, and work with my worry and say, honey, you're on the right path, and work with my worry. So I think that, you know, if you're getting, so you had that click when you were young, but you're continuing to learn. I don't know about Eckhart Tolle. I don't understand it either, Marie. I'm with you on that.
I kind of agree.
I believe we continue to have life challenges that push us to grow more and more and more and more. Where even if you're enlightened, you continue to be more enlightened.
Well, yeah, and you know what I think he meant to say, and I'm going to just put words, he's not here, but I feel that he meant to say, you know, when you get a little wiser and you get a little more spiritual, you get to use your horse sense with your spiritual sense, you get to understand your depression, you kind of deal with all of it in a with a little more dignity and diplomacy rather than, you know, drowned in our dramas. Are you following me?
That's not what he said, but that sounds good to me.
That's not my
understanding of what he said. Is it yours?
Yeah, because, I mean, you two are so gentle and yet so powerful. And to me, that's the cutting edge, when you can be gentle with all of our stuff and still, you know, have the motivation to work through it. That, to me, is like a really life that's lived fully.
Yeah, absolutely.
If that makes any sense.
Absolutely. And to embrace ourselves as we are each moment, and whatever arises is there to arise, to be dealt with and loved. And yes, to own our power and to own our vulnerability, to own our truth and to own our boo-boos. You know, this society is so often built with the kind of the narcissistic gloss. And I've been trying to fix my website and do some internet marketing, Marie, and it's so interesting because so much of this marketing is still from that pumped up, false place that I don't want to come from.
Okay, well, yes.
I hear you.
And so, so I want to thank the caller. It is time for a break. So, caller, I'm going to let you go if you're ready for that.
Thank you for a great experience, and be well, both of you.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. It was a wonderful conversation. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so yeah, thank you for calling in. If you want to get on the air, the number to call is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And Dr. Jennifer, I want to talk more about the marketing side, and we have about half an hour left in the show, so we'll get more into some of the projects that you've got going on. You're listening to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. We're speaking with Dr. Jennifer Howard. You can find her at drjenniferhoward.com or on Twitter at Dr. Dr. Jennifer, Dr. Jennifer. And so we'll be back with more synchronicity in just a moment.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Scene Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Ever thought about volunteering with Big Sisters? Maybe now is the time. Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland provides girls aged 7 to 17 with a champion, a mentor who's there to simply be their friend and cheer them on. Become a study buddy tutor and spend 1 hour a week helping your little sister learn to love school. Or become a big sister and spend 3 fun hours a week just hanging out with your little sister. If you're age 19 or older, please visit bigsisters.bc.ca to find out more. Maybe now is the time.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul here in Vancouver at 101.9 FM or online at citr.ca or cosmicdimensions.com. You can also catch the rebroadcast at empowerradio.com. And so we are speaking with Dr. Jennifer Howard. She is a licensed psychotherapist who's been practicing for over 20 years. And hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi. So before I get into the marketing and what's going on with that, and also I know that you've got a teleconference that you want to talk about as well. And so the person who had emailed earlier about the childhood, she emailed in with a bit of clarification. She said that she hears what you're saying, but she feels that she had it great as a kid, and now her life is wonderful. And yes, there have been bumps, but you need those to grow. And she said that maybe she has an extra thick skin. So I think where she's coming from is not everybody had problems in childhood. How would you respond to that?
Well, I'd want to ask her how old she was. Mm-hmm. And, then she doesn't suffer, I guess. And I guess that's great. I don't know. You know, I'd have to talk to her, I guess, to figure out what... So if she didn't suffer, how does she suffer now, or does she suffer at all, and does she feel like, how does she grow? She said she has bumps in the road. That would be interesting to me. And usually our bumps in the road relate somehow back to our childhood in some form or fashion. I've never seen it in my practice, but, you know, maybe those people don't come to me. And maybe those people aren't that, and this woman's listening to the show, so she must be interested in personal growth. And I would say, what's driving her to this personal growth? What's that longing that she's wanting to be more fully engaged somewhere in her life? Great to question. Always question everything. That's what I say to everyone. Question everything about everything. So she could ask herself, and then if she feels like I'm wrong, then that's just my opinion.
Well, and there's also, I think, a lot of people that have traumas, for instance, I'm getting back into my own life here because I can't really speak from anyone else's life. But for me, you know, growing up in foster care and being bounced around all over the place and being emotionally and all of these things, you know, just I'm not even going to get into it right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't learn the skills for coping. Like, you would think, oh, someone who's dealing with this crap every day, constantly, would have a thicker skin. But actually, it kind of wears away at your soul. Whereas other people maybe, I can't speak for this person, but just as an example, you know, a lot of times when people have an easier childhood, and I don't mean easy in the way that, like, oh, you've, whatever, your life has been easy, but you know, when you have parents who nurture you and you have, and not who are over nurturing, but who teach you and show you the ways to cope. So maybe you do have challenges. You know, this person might have challenges that for me, I would break down into tears because, you know, mm-hmm. I just haven't learned those coping skills to get past that. Whereas other people, you know, the world can be coming to an end and they're like, fine.
Right. And what's the, you know, I'm not speaking about this caller at all because I don't know, but I'm thinking about some people who are in denial. Not everyone, not this caller maybe at all, but, you know, I had one of those pretty good childhoods. I really did. I had very loving parents, and but, you know, there's the sins of the father that get passed down. In other words, the pain of your parents, the poverty, or the, you know, unfinished business of the parents and the grandfathers that get passed down, too, in the energy field and in the psyche of the entire environment. It's environmental. So even if, you know, at least my experience is, even people who have great childhoods, we're still incarnated in bodies for what reasons? You know, to learn and to grow and to teach and to share. So I'm one of those people that kind of took me a while to figure out what wasn't exactly right. And they're still great people. They're wonderful people, my parents, and God bless them, they're still alive. But, you know, there were things that they missed and couldn't do and didn't know how, and because of their own upbringing and everything. So,
well, I think that no matter how good your life is, or even if you've come from, you know, you've overcome things and you've gone through healing, like what we were talking about with the caller, mm-hmm. You know, there's always more, mm-hmm. there's always room to grow.
If you're willing to let consciousness reveal itself, it will reveal itself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking for your next level in growth, I mean, even stepping into being a teacher now for me has been a whole, you know, I very seldom get any kind of readings, but I got a reading years ago, probably about 10 years ago, and he said, you're going to be the perfect student until X time, until you're going to turn into a teacher. And that was true for me. We talked before we got on air about I was a sponge for a lot of years, really learning a lot of different things from a lot of different kind of spiritual teachers and psychological trainings, and turning into a teacher is a whole path too, because I have to look at what does it mean when people don't like you, what does it mean when they do like you, you know, it's stepping into your power, not having that come from arrogance or anything else, but humility. It's very humbling to be a teacher for me. And a little scary, but it's the next step. And we all will find our ways to be teachers. You're a teacher, Marie, with this show. Everyone who's listening is a teacher in their own world. And as you become older and have lived longer, there are ways that you need to even step into that power even more with humility, hopefully, you know?
Well, and you know, they always say that teaching is one of the best ways to learn, because when you're teaching someone, first of all, I mean, even if it's just like something like schoolwork or whatever, you're going over the material and you're having to explain it in different ways so that you come up with different understandings. But also when you are, for example, you know, in the lives of, if you have any children in your lives, you know, teaching them, you learn so much from kids,
mm-hmm.
even though you're their teacher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You start to see the world more from their perspective, and it kind of opens up a whole other universe.
Well, I think what you're saying, and what I'm saying too, it's interesting when you said that, what occurred to me was thinking about the woman who wrote in, is that we're always learning, no matter what we're doing. We always have the opportunity to take ourselves to the next level. And, you know, and I don't want to pick on, you know, when you talked about Eckhart Tolle, I also respect a lot of what he's done and respect a lot of, you know, what he's helped a lot of people. And, I God bless him, and that's what I want to do. But his story would be very different if he and I were to have a conversation, because mine has been kind of, you know, inch by inch. And, you know, therapy session by therapy session and training by training and year by year, rather than stepping into a new. Now, there was a place that happened about 3 or 4 years ago where I felt like I crossed this line into a place spiritually that's what allowed me to really step out and be a full teacher by myself. There was an experience, several experiences I had of really going into no self and meditating, sitting down to meditate and thinking it was 10 minutes and it was 5 hours. So I had these kind of very huge opening spiritually that felt like, okay, but it didn't mean there's still not more to do.
I think, yeah, I don't want to discount what Eckhart Tolle has done, because I think, you know, the power of now, for example, I mean, living in the present moment, it's something I need to practice more. But it is a really, really important thing to learn, especially in our society. And we haven't talked, you touched on it with Twitter and the internet marketing. You know, a lot of it is we don't live in the present reality. We're always, you know, striving for the next thing. We're always looking forward to the future. And it is important to, you know, have goals for the future. But if you're always living in the future, you're never appreciating the moment now.
You know, that's so funny, because I'm doing this teleconference. I just did a teleconference last night on goals, a free teleconference, and I invite people to go and listen to it. I think it's going to be on my salon page, or if it's not, it's on the event page. I think the free ones are on the salon page. And I'm going to be doing a teleconference in September and October. The dates are there. I don't remember them right now. On goal setting. And when I talked about goals last night, I talked about them much more the way you're talking about them. Certainly we have goals we want to set in the future. But how about a spiritual goal of spiritual practice every day? Or a goal of practicing being in the moment. It's like setting that goal to actually bring you into now, you know, because it does take, we're talking about therapy and spiritual practice and all those things that help us, give us the tools to actually be present. And as we're present in the moment, that this moment's gone, that moment's gone, this moment's gone, that moment's gone, we can see what blocks us from being in that flow every moment, when the caller said earlier about the flow. You know, flowing down the river. I know that sometimes I get caught trying to swim upstream. And I have to say, whoa, speaking of law of attraction, right? Just let myself go with what it is supposed to be. And I think you and I had a conversation about law of attraction at some point. I remember when we talked.
We did, yeah.
And something that I'm writing a book on the law of attraction. I'm going to have a free book soon, and then one that's, you know, to purchase for a minimal fee. But talking about the fear of the negative, and it's kind of what you and I were talking about. There was this, there's some of this misunderstanding, I think, in the law of attraction work too. That if I have one slight negative thought, I'm doomed. It's almost like the fear, almost like a superstition of the negative, rather than saying, there's my next lesson. I had a negative thought. Okay, let it go. Now, if you can't let it go and you keep going back to it, you need to pursue it so you can release it. So you understand it, so you follow it to its deepest core. That's the way I work as a therapist, too, and I think that's the work you've done, is follow it to the deepest place and go, there it is again. Okay, let me have compassion for myself. And that allows you to come back to the present moment, and that allows you to create from that higher place and attract from that higher place. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I think I'm going to confess, I think I'm more in that place of trying to push away the negative thoughts.
Mm.
I know, logically in my mind, from all the studying that I've done, that's not really the healthiest thing to do. But then at the same time, you're taught to think positive, put a smile on your face. And so it's kind of like, I can't be, you know, feeling this right now. I have to push it away. And then it keeps coming up and coming up.
That's right. So, you know, what I would say, and there's a lot of spiritual teachings that talk about this. I can't think of anybody in this moment that comes from the top of my head. But, you know, pull it to you. Get to know it. It's like have tea with our enemies. It's like when Jesus went into the woods and sat with the devil. It's like Buddhist. There's a lot of Buddhist stories about that. Like whatever is bugging you, whatever is your demon, you have to invite it to tea eventually. I mean, you can do releasing and EFT and all those things if you're overwhelmed. If you're overwhelmed with depression, you may have to have a therapist or a spiritual teacher sit with you as you do this. But eventually your ego gets strong enough that you have to invite those, you know, say, there's my negative thought about money. Come over here, honey. Sit down. So why are you here right now, and what are you trying to tell me? Because you just pushing it away almost gives it more charge. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't think of a pink elephant. What's the first thing you thought of?
Exactly, yeah. So, and I think, and the person who called in also mentioned, you know, creative people. And I think a lot of creative people who are not expressing their creativity. And I think everyone is creative. Everyone needs to express their creativity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And the people that don't have that outlet, who are wasting their talent, or, you know, focusing on the almighty dollar, and not that dollars aren't important in life, they are, but, you know, if that's all you're focusing on,
right.
That's, I think that's where the depression can come from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. If you're not living your destiny. That's what you're talking about is living your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. Not everybody's supposed to be a writer or a painter or a dancer. I mean, I've been in all the arts. I was a singer, dancer, actor, and I'm a painter. Some of my pages on my website have paintings of mine on it, so I paint too. But everybody, whether you're a mathematician, that's an art. I mean, everybody has their way to express themselves this life and their destiny and what they came to teach and do and live and help. And, you know, whether you're a teacher or this, everybody has, you're right, the creativity's in everything. And if you're living your destiny and you're living your passion, then you're not so depressed. You're not, the depression and the, you know, kind of listlessness comes out of, I don't know my way, or I can't find my way, or I can't do my way. And I think you're right that we fantasize that things like money and things are going to feed us, when really what it may take money to do some of it, and we have to have a certain amount of money to live. But after that, they did all this happiness study where people, after a certain level of income, there is no more happiness to be had. There was a whole study about it. Like after you're at just a little more than you need to make, you don't get happier when you get richer.
Interesting.
I forgot where I read that. I think it was on the Huffington Post or something. I commented about it, a blog. And it was a whole study. They cited the study and everything. Either that or Psychology Today. Either one of that. You guys can, you know, look on the net and find it. But, yes, so right, chasing after money, chasing after materialism. I mean, we've all got to make money, and certainly we want to be able to put siding in our house and roofs over us, and want good food, and, you know, but after a while it becomes another addiction. It becomes a false idol. We're chasing idols that never fill us up. It's just something else to try to fill us up and make us important from a narcissistic, wounded place rather than reality, rather than feeling we're coming for our true self. We're living from our true self. That's what feeds us. That's what feeds our soul.
Wonderful. Perfectly said. I totally agree. And what are some of the ways that we can feed our soul? Because that seems to be, especially in our society, where we're always looking for something to fill us up, whether it's food, sex, money, electronic toys, makeup, vacations, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, two directions I would say to pursue, and I'm just going to post a blog today about this, and the first sentence of the blog is avoid nothing. Avoid nothing. So I would say both ways. Deal with the wounded emptiness. If you're trying to fill yourself up, you're terrified of your emptiness. So eventually you've got to face the demon of your emptiness. Now, spiritual emptiness actually leads to the no-self place, the nothingness, somethingness place, that they're one. I'm talking very deep spirituality right here, right now. I hope I'm... Ask me questions if I'm kind of mumbling here. But that deep spiritual emptiness actually is what actual creativity arises out of. It's what creation comes out of. It comes out of nothingness. And they've even proven that in quantum physics with the black holes, that the vacuum, out of the vacuum actually comes something. So out of nothing comes something. So that spiritual emptiness is rich and fertile and exciting and warm and nurturing and a peaceful place to rest. But that wounded emptiness that says, oh my God, I'm nothing, I'm going to die, nothingness, that's the place that's the wounded nothingness that we need to work with. And that has to be delved into from that place. Looking at why am I spending, why am I eating, why am I drinking, why am I trying to fill myself up with television and internet and constant chatter and constantly on the cell phone and constantly doing texting, la 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 la, action, 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 action. Sit, journal, breathe, try to meditate, see what you come up with, face those demons, find somebody to walk down that path where you find a good teacher. Find good books to read. I have a book list, what's it called? Bunch of Amazon lists of books I've picked out that I think are superb books. A lot of them are a little more esoteric and not so common. It's a good book list to go to. Pick out a few of these books. Meditate. Challenge yourself to face that fear of emptiness and that fear of loneliness or whatever it ends up being for you, me. We all have to face that place if we really want to be in that richness of the nothingness that moves into somethingness. And that's where our true soul's creativity comes out of. Am I making any sense?
Definitely, yes. And Jennifer, we've just got a few minutes left in the show, so I want to make sure that we touch on everything that needs to be said. We're talking with Dr. Jennifer Howard right now, and you can find her online at drjenniferhoward.com. She has teleconferences available, so there's a free teleconference on your site now.
Yes, it was last night. There are two of them. I did one a couple of weeks ago and one last night, and people can go and download them and listen to them.
And that's in the online salon, or is it?
Yes, I think it's in the online. I'm pretty sure it's in the online salon. And then in the events and in the, we need to add it to the store too, but in the events is my teleconference that I'm doing this fall. That will be more in depth. I'm not going to take a lot of people. So it'll be a tiny little group, and we'll be able to really go deeply with everybody's blocks. It's about setting goals, but it's about living your life.
Wonderful. And also, you mentioned to me before the show started, now you have possibly this television show coming out, but whether that comes to fruition or not, you're going to be doing an internet television show, correct?
Correct. I'm going to be doing a Ustream TV show starting in the fall. I'm not sure exactly the date. I'm learning the technology now. I'm technologically challenged, so I'm in the remedial school here. So, I'm going to do it'll be free and every week, somewhere in the middle of the week. I don't know exactly when time yet. We haven't set all that up, but I'm very excited about it. It's the new technology that's probably going to take over YouTube. It's live streaming. So it's exciting. It's exciting to do this and set it up. And I'm going to set up the technology so we can have callers and, you know, guests. Eventually I want to interview some of folks like Deepak Chopra or other people, even Eckhart Tolle, people who want to speak their piece if they'll come talk to me. So that's what I'm setting up in the fall. So it'll be, and if you keep going to www.drjenniferhoward.com, it will have that. We're going to have a .tv and have my own TV station connection through that. So
cool. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, and I want to talk now, we have about 5 minutes left before the end of the show, so let's talk a little bit more about the law of attraction, because we've talked about, allowing those negative thoughts to come in and kind of get to the root of them and just sit with it so that it can be cleared. Can dwell on it.
That's right.
But so you can, instead of pushing it away, you're letting it flow, you're feeling it, feeling where it's coming from and moving past that. But another part of the law of attraction that kind of gets confusing for me is how a lot of teachers talk about how you can just meditate or just feel good, just, you know, go to the beach or play with your cat or ride a roller coaster and everything will fall into place and the money will come and the relationships will come and you could just sit on your butt all day and feel good and everything will come to you. And that hasn't been my experience because I have tried that. and I find the sitting on the butt doesn't work so much. It's the action, and action, of course, coming from a place of feeling good. How do you feel about the law of attraction? Because I get frustrated because I think a lot of people, that's what they want to hear. A lot of people want to be told and want to believe that if you just sit there and feel good and do nothing, things will come. You'll win the lottery. The job will come. You'll meet the man of your dreams. And it's like, well, you know, if you don't go outside to meet, you know, or log on to a dating site or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, there are actions that you have to take.
Well, it makes me think about, you know, creation moving into through different realms that we create from the plenum. We create from all that is. The creation comes from nothing into something. And then eventually it becomes action. So, you know, it comes through the mental realm as an idea or a thought. Then it moves into the emotional realm. Then it moves into the physical realm. So if it's not moving down through the realms, it's just kind of stuck in the ethers and it's not going to manifest. So you're absolutely right. You have to also develop action plans. And, you know, and if the action plan doesn't work and you don't create it and you don't win lotto, then you have to go back to what is your real longing? I mean, whose longing is to, people want to win lotto because they don't want to do anything. What is your destiny on this planet? What are you here to contribute? And that would be actions, wouldn't it?
Yes, definitely.
That would be books, or Mother Teresa, or helping the poor, or volunteering your time, or, you know, painting a painting, or running a radio show like you, or whatever. You know, it has to ultimately, we're in the dimension of action. When we're in bodies, in the physical form, it's about doing. And we don't want to just be bodies doing, as Bradshaw would say. We are also human beings. But what you're saying is they expect if they just sit on a mountaintop and meditate, that somehow it's all going to come to fruition. And there are great gurus, and I've heard about people who can absolutely pull something out of thin air. I'm not that skilled and to be able to do that, and I would assume most of your listeners aren't. So, yes, it must come from a spiritual longing to an idea, to a feeling about it, to an action.
Wonderful. Well, is there anything, Dr. Jennifer, that you would like to add before we close the show?
I want to thank you, Marie. This has been an absolute pleasure, and I hope the listeners got something out of it. That's my longing, is that I can impart something that's helpful for people. So I want to thank you, and I hope someday, hopefully you'll invite me back, and we'll do more of this. And thank you so much.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, and I'm excited to see your Ustream show and hopefully your television show as well. And so thank you, Dr. Jennifer. Again, if you want to find Dr. Jennifer online, you can go to drjenniferhoward.com. That's DR for doctor. And she's also on Twitter at Dr. Jennifer, the same DR Jennifer. And you can find her link on my site as well, spiritualshow.com. So this has been Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie, and we'll be back next week. I think next week we'll be talking with Charles Virtue. He's the son of Doreen Virtue, the angel therapy practitioner, program developer, and she's on Hay House Radio and has tons and tons of books and angel card decks and all of that. So that's going to be really interesting. I want to thank Dr. Jennifer again for being on the show, and Scotty's Scenic Drive is up next in just a moment. Thanks for being with me.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry!
Rude boy, don't cry!
Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.